You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Pistons podcast. Before you listen to this, though, make sure you're starting your week with the latest NBA news and game recaps on Locked On NBA. Josh Lloyd, host of the number one fantasy basketball podcast in the world, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, takes you around the NBA's major headlines with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On NBA podcast today wherever you get your podcasts. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me on Twitter, at Kuka Hill NBA. You can find me also on YouTube, at Kuka Ballroom. You can also find me over at Detroit Bad Boys, writing articles about the Pistons. And today, I am joined by Bryce of Motor City Hoops, by far the most, has the most appearances on the podcast as a guest. Bryce, how you doing, man?
I'm good, Koo. I'm not even going to say anything, because I know Hal listens to the podcast. So, Hal, I hope we can still be friends. But, Koo, you know I love coming on. I appreciate how often you ask me to come on and join you.
Absolutely. It's always fun. So what we're going to talk about today on the podcast, I thought it would be perfect to have Bryce on. Like all the other times, you know, I love having Bryce on. We love talking. But I think today literally makes a lot of sense to have Bryce on because we're going to talk about Ben Wallace, who was just inducted to the Hall of Fame this past weekend. And as you guys know, I think Bryce has said it on the podcast and he said it on his own podcast and on Twitter that he became like a Pistons guy. What was it, Bryce, last year?
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't even been a full 12 months. Motor City Hoops isn't even a year old, so I jumped on like in December. So it hasn't even been a full 12 months yet.
Yeah, so I wanted to get a perspective on Ben Wallace from someone who is now a Pistons guy. But at the time of Ben Wallace's prime and him playing, wasn't really a Pistons fan, wasn't from Detroit. So I wanted to get perspective on what they thought about what the perception of Ben Wallace was outside Detroit, not from fans' perspectives, but someone from outside. So we'll talk about from the get-go Ben Wallace's Hall of Fame getting in and what the perception of Ben Wallace was from Bryce and people outside. And then we'll also talk about Ben Wallace was the first one from the Going to Work team to make the Hall of Fame. Will he be the only one? And if he isn't the only one of us believes, who's the next person that will make the Hall of Fame from that Going to Work squad? And also in the final segment, we'll talk a little bit about and update you guys about the Pistons Twitter Fantasy Football League, which I'll let you guys know this right now. I got to win first week as we're recording this right
I'm
now.
I'm sweating it out.
As we're recording this right now, Bryce is waiting to see what happens in his game. He's waiting to see Darren Waller. He needs to see Darren Waller pull up a dud. He can't be scoring no touchdowns.
No touchdowns.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk about that. And then also we'll let Bryce tell his injury story that he's been telling us he'd tell us for months now. So I'll finally give him the time to tell us what happened in his college career and why he was unable to go play overseas. But let's start off with the big news over the weekend. Ben Wallace has made the Hall of Fame. Bryce, from outside of Detroit, how big was how big was Ben Wallace? Like, in Detroit, obviously, he was such a big deal. Detroit loves him. He's like an idol in Detroit. Anytime he comes around, it's just a big deal. When he talks, everyone shuts up. It's like, and as soon as he appears on the screen at Pistons games, you know, you got the bell ringing. Everyone gets goosebumps. I still get goosebumps. I'm a grown man. I still get goosebumps anytime I hear the bell. Just how big was Ben outside of Detroit? Was he big at all? Did people really care about him? Did you know much about him? Did you care about him at all? Just what was it like outside of Detroit for Ben?
Yeah, so just for perspective for people, so, you know, Ben, you know, in the early 2000s, so I was born in 87, so I was, you know, 13, 14, 15, so, you know, early high school, whenever, like, this was really going on with Ben Wallace and the Pistons, and I actually was a fan of this team. Like, Rip Hamilton was actually one of my favorite players with the mask and all that stuff. I broke my nose, actually, my freshman year of college, and I didn't get a Rip mask. I got, like, the old school, like, nasty ones, but... So I did like this team, and it's interesting as you were talking about it there though, Koo, like I didn't realize Ben Wallace was like that guy with the team though. Like, I guess I would have assumed it was Chauncey or Rip. I didn't really like, it kind of sounds like Ben Wallace was the one that like ingrained himself more with Pistons fans. I know they all have in some way, but, I think he, for me, like, I just knew he was a relentless worker, like rebounder, obviously block shots. But like my perception now, as I look back, was like probably that he was, I don't want to say an offensive liability, but wasn't super skilled offensively, you know? And I don't know if I'm, if that's true or not. Like, I don't know how Pistons fans would react to hear that. I don't really remember what he was threat wise offensively. If it's just a lob threat or offensive rebounds or whatever. But man, like, you just, I think everybody seemed to love him because of just the relentless worker he was on the boards, blocking shots, and just the energy that he played with.
Yeah. So I was pretty young. I was like seven, 8 years old when all that was going on. So I've said on the podcast multiple times, I haven't had like this big, I don't have like this big memory of like a full season's worth of games with the Pistons. I remember spot games. I remember specific moments. I remember like little moments in my head that I remember watching a game and seeing Ben do something. But I don't really have like full season's worth of memories. But I can say that, you know, Ben wasn't really that skilled offensively, no. But let's talk about him defensively, obviously, because that's why he's in the Hall of Fame. Just like, I there's all kinds of highlights. Like, he was... The one that I see people always talk about is the one when he stuffed Shaq at the rim like basically takes Shaq to the ground. That one's pretty dope. Just, I know you spoke a little bit about him offensively and what and his lack of skill there. But did his defensive mark, how great he was defensively, did that pop off the screen outside of Detroit? Was that like something that like impacted? Because in Detroit, it feels like that, and from fans, at least from my perspective, it feels like that Ben had a big impact defensively. Not just in like the city of Detroit, but like he put like a big impact on the NBA for just how great he was defensively at his height and just the freak of nature he was and how great he was able to turn that into being just a defensive monster, scoring 4 defensive player of the year, tied with Dikembe Mutombo for most of all time. Was that something that was known outside of Detroit really like that? Was it known that he was like possibly one of the greatest defenders ever? It wasn't really just like, oh yeah, this guy plays pretty good defense, but the team as a whole is pretty good.
No, but I do think, to me, the way I remember it, the narrative was more of like this underdog story with Ben Wallace, right? Like you just said, truly undersized for playing the 5 spot, I guess, at 6'9", especially in those days, undrafted, Virginia Union, community college, all of that stuff, and kind of, I guess, came out of nowhere whenever he exploded on the scene with the Pistons, or at least that's how I remember it. Maybe that's not correct. But so I think that was the narrative around Ben Wallace, was like, how could you not cheer for this quote unquote underdog story? And then it just fitted in even better with the story of this team, you know, that quote unquote didn't have a superstar, but just all sacrificed and gelled together. And it's like, you know, the perfect combination of 5 players. I do think I remember it more as the rebounding, if that makes more sense, Koo. Like, if that makes sense, like, that's what I remember. Like, I didn't watch the game the same way back then that I do now. So as a high schooler, as a 15-year-old, I probably wasn't watching the game and, you know, was he the quarterback of the defense and all that. Like, you see the highlight block shots. But to me, I remember my first thought with Ben Wallace is rebounding. Like, he just dominated the boards at his size, and that was just incredible that he was able to do that.
All right, so before we move on to the next segment, let me ask you this then, because I know that when it happened, there was a little bit of debate about it. I personally don't think there's any debate to it. I think that, you know, and let me just say this before I ask you. No, I will not crucify you for your answer. I just want to know an honest answer. But for me, I didn't see any debate to whether Ben Wallace was a Hall of Famer. I thought Ben was the GOAT. Out of everyone on the squad, I think he was the obvious choice to go to the Hall of Fame. He has 4 defensive players of the year. He's one of the best defenders of all time. Most likely, I think that he probably is the best help defender ever. And when you have like stats like that and awards like that, being the best defender in the league for a good, like, what was it, like 5-6 years, and being a part of a championship team, a team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals 6 straight years, back-to-back finals, the kind of awards and resume that he has, even though he wasn't that great offensively, when you secure yourself as one of the best defenders ever, and it's not like it's not like a Tony Allen kind of thing, when Tony Allen was just like a great defender, but he just wasn't that good of a player. Like, he's a wing player. He's a great defender, but you're not ever thinking of Tony Allen when you're thinking about all-star teams or anything. Like, Ben was making all NBA teams. He was making all-star teams. Like, he just how great he was defensively, it washed over a lot of his offensive limitations, and especially because he bought into a role offensively and knew what he could and couldn't do. But anyways, basically what I was going to ask you, do you feel like Ben should have made the Hall of Fame? Did you have any pause to it? Did you think, I don't know if he should really be in here? What's your thoughts on him making it?
Yeah, no, I think he's a Hall of Famer. When I saw it, like, it didn't, like, oh, Ben Wallace really going to, like, it was there. I had no pause or qualms about it whatsoever. And I think you bring up a good point. He's obviously going to the Hall of Fame based on what he was able to do on the boards and as a defensive player and a defensive anchor. But it's not like he was just kind of good or okay. Like, he was, I don't know if I'm overstating this, one of the greatest defenders this game has seen. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't have the context, I guess, to know that for sure. But I don't feel like I'm overstretching saying that. Like, he anchored one of the greatest defensive teams ever, right? Like, I mean, Keith Black Trudeau has outlined the ridiculous stats that team put up. So, I know I don't have, like you said, you know, four-time All-Star, four-time Defensive Player of the Year, not Defensive First Team Player of the Year, two-time rebounding champ, a blocks leader, all of those things. You know, I guess if you had one argument, Koo, could you go, if you really wanted to, could you say that maybe the longevity wasn't there with Ben Wallace's greatness? Do you think that's something somebody could say if they really wanted to, you know, put a chink in the armor?
So I actually think that longevity would be a better argument against him than his offensive game. Because Agreed. Of how dominant he was defensively, I don't think it matters by his offensive game. But longevity, I think that would be the best argument against him. Because he didn't have that long of a prime. But I think when you reach the heights that he does, my thing with the Hall of Fame, and then we can go to the next segment because we are running a little bit longer. My thing is with the Hall of Fame is if you have a shorter prime, but in that shorter prime, you reach heights there, just like you can't ignore that story of NBA. You can't ignore them in the story of basketball. If that's the kind of prime you have, it doesn't matter. So I think the one exception to that, though, would be my favorite player ever was Derrick Rose. I think it's going to be a real touchy subject whenever he comes up to the Hall of Fame. But
in general, I agree with you. Yes, I agree with what you just said, though.
Yeah, so I do think the longevity, though, probably is the best argument against him. But yeah, Ben definitely should be in the Hall of Fame, in my opinion. We're all so happy for him, and it was just – It was a great feeling and a great sight to see him and his speech. His speech was tremendous as well. So we're all rooting for Ben. We're all happy to see him. And when he got to the Hall of Fame, it's like the entire city of Detroit celebrated as well. So when we come back, oh, go ahead.
No, that's what I said. Like, just I echo everything you said.
So when we come back, we'll talk about, do we think another player from the Going to Work squad could make the Hall of Fame? Is there another player? Who is it going to be? We'll talk about that coming up. But before we get to that, let me tell you about one of our sponsors, DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for all the good stuff. For me, I would have all this stuff as well with my monitor sitting right next to me watching something else, whatever else I'm trying to watch. I have about 5 screens popped up in my room just staring at me. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get it, your TV, together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part? There's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion, and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more about it at DirecTV.com. Yes, that's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Make sure you go and check out DirecTV.com to try out DirecTV Stream. What's the deal, guys? There are some things in life that you just don't really want to talk about. You know, issues in a relationship, family problems, or more importantly, sweating through your t-shirt in the public for no reason when out with the boys. Yet, you heard me right. Everyone has been there, including myself. Simply wearing deodorant doesn't help it either. But Sweat Block antiperspirant wipes can help. Sweat Block is doctor created and doctor recommended. You simply apply it at night before bedtime and go to bed. Then wake up the next day and do your normal routines like nothing ever happened. Except this time, without the worry of sweating through your t-shirt. Sweat Block works for up to 7 days per use and has a dry shirt guarantee. If Sweat Block doesn't keep your shirt dry, you get your money back instantly. If you or someone you know is dealing with this worst issue in life of sweating through your t-shirt, tell them all about Sweat Block. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with promo code locked on. Again, get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with promo code locked on or at Amazon and CVS. Get Sweatblock now and stop sweating. All right, Bryce. So like we just talked about, Ben Wallace made the Hall of Fame. Now that team won that won the championship in 2004. I think there's five players on that team that everyone basically remembers. It's Chauncey, it's Richard Hamilton, Tayshaun Prince, Rasheed Wallace, and Ben Wallace. Now, I think a lot of people would agree that Ben Wallace is the obvious choice from there to make the Hall of Fame, and he's made it. I think he had the best resume. He probably had the most impact on the game in his history. So I think Ben Wallace obviously was the go-to guy to make the Hall of Fame. Now, I think this is a tricky question for me, at least. I think it's going to be a tricky situation whenever these guys continue to come up in a Hall. I'm sure a lot of them actually, Rip and Chauncey, I'm sure they probably have already had their chance on ballots and stuff. So I'm not sure though, but I'm pretty sure they've been just as retired long, just as retired has been retired just as long. I'm trying to say, my God, as Ben Wallace. So I'm pretty sure they probably have popped up at some point, but either way, I think it's going to be tricky with the rest of these players because this team won a championship. They're one of the most memorable championship teams. There's no way you can tell the story of basketball without them. And their run that they had, I think it speaks more to not only that they won the championship, but the fact that they made the Eastern Conference Finals six straight years. That's actually insane for them to pull off. So, but anyways, is there another player on this team? Actually, yeah, let me just say that first. Is there another player on this team that you think could make the Hall of Fame? Yes or no? And then after, based on your answer, I'll ask which player it is. But do you see one that you think could make it?
Yes, I think there's one and only one that has any chance at all.
Okay, so I think I have, I think I also might have one. So I think we're probably having the same person, but I'll let you go first. Who's that one person and why?
Yeah, I think Chauncey is the only one. He had five-time All-Star. He actually made three All-NBA teams, a couple defensive teams. He had a good college career. We were talking about this before, Koo, right? This isn't the NBA Hall of Fame. This is the Basketball Hall of Fame. And so you're talking about a guy that was a second-team All-American. His numbers retired at Colorado, McDonald's All-American, three times Mr. Colorado Basketball. And here's the biggest thing, NBA Finals MVP. And I think that carries a lot of weight. And so I think Chauncey is the one guy of the four left that has a chance. And I'm really interested to see if he eventually gets in.
All right. So I agree. I think Chauncey is the one with the most likely chance to actually make it. Do I think he's going to make it? I think Chauncey's going to be one of those guys that eventually makes it at some point, but it's going to be a while. That would be my guess. Because his number, I think Chauncey's one of those guys too, that I think he would be appreciated a lot more if he played in this era. Cause I think he's kind of like, who would I compare? I think he's kind of like Kyle Lowry, where his numbers aren't going to jump off at you like that. But like the advancement in analytics and the advancement, in like looking at the game a different way, not just like, oh, 30 points a game, all that kind of stuff. I think that would have helped Chauncey tremendously in this era. And he would have been looked at like a juiced up Kyle Lowry. That's basically how I would look at him. And Kyle Lowry, I think, is going to the Hall of Fame eventually as well, too.
Well, and that's what I, like, as an outsider back then, if you would have asked me who I thought the face of the Going to Work Pistons was, I would have said Chauncey Billups. And I'm wrong in that, right?
I don't know. I don't know if I would say you were wrong. I think the reason why Ben really like equated himself and became like the big face of the Pistons because he was the one who started it all. He was the first one
sure.
that showed up and he was there as it was built. Chauncey and Rip eventually started coming like I think like a year later or 2 years later after that. I think Rip joined a year after, but I'm almost 100% sure that Ben was the one that started it all. He was the first one to join the team.
He came in the Grant Hill trade.
Yeah. So I think that's why he's looked at that way. But I don't know. I think that's a good argument to have. I think a lot of people would argue back and forth about who exactly was the face of the Pistons. Was it Chauncey or was it Ben? Because Chauncey did hit a lot of the clutch shots. He was known as Mr. Big Shot. Everyone loved him. So I think it's an argument. And obviously he won Finals MVP. So, I mean, and everyone signaled the, I mean, the Pistons got rid of Ben, I think 2 years before they got rid of Chauncey, and they were still making the Eastern Conference Finals, and no one, I don't want to say people didn't bat an eye, but like the Pistons didn't go straight to hell until they got rid of Chauncey. Once they got rid of Chauncey, that's when everything went straight to hell, and it was done for. So, I mean, I don't know. I think it's a good argument to have who was the face of the Pistons. Was it Ben or was it Chauncey?
I assumed it was my own. I was thinking maybe it was my own bias just because. So, you know, I grew up and still live in far southwest Kansas, like right next to the Colorado border. So Chauncey obviously coming up high school in Colorado, and then I watched him play at the University of Colorado. Now I'm sitting here going like, maybe that was just bias, you know, on my part. You know, I knew Chauncey was coming up, and so I just always assumed. But like I say, listening to you earlier, I'm like, man, maybe I was wrong about that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think it's a good argument to have. I actually would like to see that argument play out. If all of you guys who are listening to this, hit me up on Twitter or Bryce on Twitter. And let us know what you guys think. I think that's an argument that Pistons Twitter. Actually, no, I'm going to tweet this out tomorrow when I publish this. I'm going to ask who.
Poll time.
Who was it?
Hey, can I ask you a quick question? So how would you rank the other three then? Because I feel like, you know, obviously Ben's in. We both agreed that Chauncey is the only really if you had to rank.
Actually, I was going to say, actually, okay. I think there's one other player that has an outside shot. I think there's one other player that could potentially make it down the line very, like, in a weak Hall of Fame class. I think he would have a chance in his rip. I think Rip has an outside shot. Now, I don't think he's going to make it, but I think he's the next best shot, and this is why. So, he's an NBA champion. Mm-hmm. He's a three-time All-Star. He has his number retired with the Pistons, but like you said, I was going to mention this, it's the Basketball Hall of Fame,
yes.
Not the NBA,
yes.
Hall of Fame.
He has a good college resume.
Yes, he has a great college resume. He has an NCAA championship. He was a Final Four Most Outstanding Player. He has a consensus first-team All-American, consensus second-team All-American. He was a Big East Player of the Year twice, first-team All-Big East twice, American McDonald's All-American, and a second-team Parade All-American. He also has a gold medal in the FIBA American Championship. And some of the things he did with the Pistons, like I'm sure that – actually, I don't know. I wonder if Keith mentioned this to you. But Rip is, I believe, the Pistons' all-time leading scorer in the playoffs, and he's led them in scoring, I believe, each year that they went to the, during the time of their core and them making it to the conference finals. So I believe he also is the all-time leading scorer for the Pistons in the playoffs and leads them in scoring average as well. So I think he has an outside shot, and I think that he has some of that. For me, this is just my own opinion. You can't back this up with fact, really. This is just me speculating. I think if you have like a memorable part about you, I think it helps you a little bit.
Yep. Yeah.
And I think him having the mask and him being like one of the, like the memorable kind of things about him, like he's Rip, I feel like is one of those players who you won't really ever forget about because of his mask and that whole thing. I don't think anyone will ever be able to forget about him, along with the fact that he's an NBA champion, by the way. So I think Rip is the next one who has an outside shot. I think it goes Ben makes it. I think Chauncey eventually makes it. And then after that, it's a big drop off. Then Rip with an outside shot, and then another drop off to the other two that just wouldn't make it. Which, by the way, I think sucks. I think Rasheed probably should have had a better shot than almost everybody here. Just he sacrificed a lot and sacrificed his numbers a lot in his career to try to win once he got the pit. I think he was the most talented guy there and easily had like Hall of Fame talent.
Yeah, so and that's what I was gonna say. I feel like. And I love Tayshaun Prince. And again, this was back before I was a Pistons fan and doing stuff like this, you know, like, but I really did like this squad. Like people probably think I'm making this up because of what I'm doing now, but I really, really did like this squad. And like I said earlier, Rip with the mask and Sheed, you know, like he just kind of had this mentality and this attitude and Ben Wallace, the underdog. And then Tayshaun was just this long, lanky wing and the block shot, you know, and like it's kind of cool how they all have their moment. Don't you feel like they all have something, but they're still all bonded together? Like they all sacrificed individually, but they all still have something that they're known for because of what they did collectively. I don't know. Like, I just feel like it's the ultimate story for a basketball team. And I think that's why even before I started doing this, like I always really loved this team.
You know, and before we go to the break and get to the next segment, this kind of, for me, it really does kind of like, it kind of sucks in a way because they did sacrifice and they did what they needed to do to win a championship. Yes. But I feel like people really downgrade them a lot for that too. Like, as much as they get credit for, like, oh, they sacrifice a lot to win a championship, I feel like a few of them get hurt because of that.
Yep.
Because, like I said, I think Rashid is easily the tweet me if you disagree, but I think Rashid was easily the most talented one on the roster. And I think Rashid easily could have been, like, one of those guys who went out and scored 20-plus a game. And Rashid was one of the best defenders in the league, too. Like, he was a tremendous – like, Rashid should have been, like, a year-in, year-out all-star over and over. Like, he was that good. But he sacrificed for the team. Rip was a really nice scorer. He sacrificed for the team. Chauncey could have, like, and the thing about Chauncey, too, is that Chauncey went to the Denver Nuggets, and as soon as he got to the Nuggets, they went to the conference finals as soon as he got there. So it's like, a lot of these guys, I feel like they get penalized. Like, they get rewarded, but they also get penalized for their sacrifices because people try overlooking them. And honestly, when people say, I brought this up on, like, an earlier podcast I did, and then we'll end it because we're at 24 minutes. Go out. But I said this on one of the earlier podcasts that I recorded for this, for Locked On Pistons, is that people talk about, you know, this team didn't really have a big superstar. They didn't really, that's why everyone loves them. They were just five really good players. Honestly, I feel like that's wrong. I feel like that's a good storyline. I feel like the narrative, and it kind of makes sense because they did all sacrifice and they didn't try to put up big numbers. But I really do feel like that Chauncey was one of the best players in the NBA. I feel like Ben was one of the best players in the NBA. I feel like Rashid could have been one of the best players in the NBA if he wanted to. And like you said, Ben Wallace made all NBA teams. That means he was top 15 in the league. He was top three at his position multiple times. That's not just, oh, he's just a good player. That's he's one of the best players in the NBA. Chauncey did the same thing. So it's like, I don't know. For me, I just feel like they get rewarded because they got the championship. They also get penalized to a degree for sacrificing because people don't really respect them as much as they should. But that's just me. Like, Chauncey made two All-NBA third teams, All-NBA second team as well. So, like, these aren't just good players. These are, like, the best players in the league. So it's just, I don't know. I feel like they get disrespected somewhat. But anyways, I'll let you get a word in because I did go on a little bit. I'll let you get a word in when we come back from the break.
Absolutely. Yeah, all good.
Absolutely. Okay, so when we come back, I'll let Bryce get his word in on it, and then we'll talk about the Pistons Twitter Fantasy Football League and see how that's going. I think Bryce is still alive right now. But before we get into any of that, let me tell you about one of our sponsors, Rock Auto. You ever need a part for your car? Head to the store, go through a ton of confusing questions just for one of the workers to tell you that they don't have the part that you're looking for. I know I have. That's why you should avoid all these problems and rock with another one of our sponsors, rockauto.com. Find whatever the part you're looking for on your computer or in your hand on the phone by using rockauto.com. Don't worry about having to create an account or making a membership. Just head over to rockauto.com and start shopping. Rockauto.com always offers the lowest and most reliable prices. Head over to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, well, anyways, Bryce, I told you I'd let you get a word. I went on for a little bit there, and we were running a little bit with that segment, but I want to give you a chance to talk about it as well, because I think this is something they probably want to hear more about rather than the Pistons Twitter Fantasy Football League. So go ahead and give your response to what I was talking about.
No, like, I agree with you. I do think some of their individual greatness is overlooked or downplayed because of what they sacrificed. But I just think it's so special. And I just know myself as a basketball player, I would be okay with that. Like, I love the way they're looked at as this team, this group of five, and what they accomplished and sacrificed. And yeah, does it kind of suck whenever you really get into the weeds that maybe they're not appreciated as much as they should be as individual players? Sure. Like, I understand what you're saying, but I don't think it's all bad that they're perceived the way they are, as just this group of five guys that were the most complimentary group of five that was assembled, and they all did it for the greater good and you know, and everything else. I know we don't want to lose sight of how individually talented they are, but I don't think that's the worst narrative to have either.
Well, I feel like that what would have helped them even more, and I feel like we're looking back and I'm going to make a lot of Pistons fans sad listening to this. But I feel like what would have helped them even more is that they just would have won one more. If they would have won one more, yep. I feel like Chauncey gets in. I feel like Ben obviously gets in. I think Rip then even has a shot to getting in. Heck yeah, I think honestly, if they get two, I think honestly even you can make a case that four of them might be able to squeeze in. But I don't know. It does get on my nerves a little bit when I hear the constant, like, you know, they were the best squad. They never really had a star on their team. Because I don't think that's true. I think Chauncey was obviously a star. Ben Wallace was obviously a star. Rasheed Wallace was, like I said, one of the most talented players in the entire NBA. Not only was he a great defender, he was a great offensive player, skilled all over the court, three-level scorer. So it's just like a lot of they sacrificed for the greater good, got their one championship. But I feel like, well, I mean, you know what? I'm not going to say it. I was going to say, did it pay off for them in the end? Well, obviously it did, because they won a championship. I'm sure, like, they're not going to say this publicly. I don't think any of them will ever say this publicly. But actually, I think Chauncey said this last week, like, the fact that when Ben got in, it was like all of us got in. I think he said that.
Sure, yep.
So I guess they can look at it that way. But I think deep down, I really do. I think really deep down, that if you look deep down at Rasheed, Chauncey, and Rip, maybe not Tayshaun. I don't think Tayshaun really has a shot at getting it anyways, but Rasheed, Chauncey, and Rip, if you talk to them deep down, I think they're a little bit like pissed that they may not make the Hall of Fame, and that people may disrespect them as like individual players. Cause I feel like they know that they could have been more if they really wanted to be, but they got the championship, which I'm sure they're happy about. But I have to assume that they're a little bit pissed that they're like somewhere. I refuse to believe that nowhere in their body or deep down are they like, man, they really disrespected me. Like, I really could have been like this monster if you really wanted me to. I just did what I needed to do to win. So, like, I don't know. That's just my personal opinion of it.
No, I would agree. Like, I'll say that, like, I would agree, Ku, that there's days. But I'm telling you, like, my opinion is they live every day of their life feeling pretty damn special that they did what they did. And even if it meant sacrificing some of their individual success or recognition or whatever it was, because what they did was very, very special. You know, like, I mean, there's a lot of teams that have won one NBA championship, you know what I'm saying? And like, they're one that gets talked about. Like, they're one of the most well-known NBA champions because of what they did and how they did it. And again, it was just such a perfectly assembled team. Or that's how I viewed it whenever I was watching it play out. And so I'm sure there are days where they're like, man, I wish I would have gotten mine, but I got to believe that most days they wake up feeling pretty darn good about how they did it and went about it.
Fair enough. They're a very special team to all of us. Definitely very special. I hope at least Chauncey gets rewarded for it. I think Chauncey really was a talent, a Hall of Fame talent. So we'll see what happens, but let's go ahead and shift over into real quick towards the end of the podcast. First up, let me ask Ashley, Bryce, go ahead and tell us your knee story, because I think that's what we all really care about more. We can throw in whether you won your fantasy football league or your fantasy football game at the end once the Raiders and Ravens game gets closer to the end. But just go ahead and what happened? What happened with your injuries, man? What happened?
Okay, so I'll tell this as quick as I can. So I grew up in Southwest Kansas, small little town, about 2,000 people. I graduate high school, no D1 offers. I go junior college, play 2 years, get recruited out of junior college to American University in Washington, D.C. Starter, we beat Maryland that year. I scored 20 points right before Christmas, like feeling good, getting into my own. I wasn't one of the best players. I was probably the third or fourth best player on the team. Average 8 or 10 points a game, something like that. 3-point shooters, kind of what I did. So at American, we're a one-bid conference, which essentially means you have to win your conference tournament to play in the NCAA tournament. American University had never played in the NCAA tournament before. They'd never won the conference championship. And we're in the conference semifinals. I'm playing good. I already have 8 points in the first half. Go up for a rebound, land on a teammate's foot, hit the floor, tore my ACL. So 2 games before what ended up being my school's first ever trip to the NCAA tournament, I tore my ACL. So I missed the conference championship game and I missed the NCAA tournament game that year, my junior year. So I missed that, have surgery, rehab. I'm coming back in August. I'm on doing an individual workout, blow out my knee again, tear my ACL again, another surgery about 6 months after the first one, 5 months. So now, like, my senior year is in jeopardy. So I have the surgery. I'm going to try to get back like real quick, like 4 or 5 months, try to play the second half of my senior year. And on the court, like 3 or 4 months later, kind of going through a workout, tear it again in December of that year. And so kind of to sum up the story, I ended up playing the rest of my senior year with my ACL torn.
You played?
Yeah. So the third tear happened at the beginning of December. So instead of having another surgery, not knowing if it was going to take and trying to come back for a fifth year and stuff like that, because we had seven seniors on that team and we were all super, super tight. And so essentially I just decided to play on it. So I braced it up, moved from playing the three to the four, and I just played like spot minutes, like 8 to 10 minutes off the bench. And we actually won the conference tournament again that year, played Villanova in the first round of the NCAA tournament that year, my senior year. So
what you're telling me right now is that you were playing on a torn ACL.
Division I basketball, yep.
And it was going good for you.
I was able to contribute is what I would say. Like, and it fit my game. Like I was slow anyway. I used a high basketball IQ. I was a shooter. Change of direction wasn't super vital in my game, but like there were things that limited me from being able to do. And that's why they moved me to the four as opposed to the three, you know, that way I wasn't out defending on the perimeter and getting through ball screens and chasing guys off staggered screens and stuff like that. So, so essentially I tore my ACL three times in 9 months, tear, surgery, rehab, tear, surgery, rehab, tear, and then just decided to play on it and make the most of it that I had left.
Well, that I gotta say that sounds like a very crappy story. I can't lie to you. That sounds like a story that would break my heart multiple times if it happened to me. So, you know what's funny is as you were telling that story, and we'll wrap it up after this, I looked up your name on Google and I find multiple pictures of you, and I find multiple articles about you and your team. And yeah. I gotta say, you don't look any different. You've lost a little bit of hair, but that's about it.
Yeah. So
that's about it.
I think there's actually, so those of you that have listened to Motor City Hoops, I've had, been fortunate enough to have David Aldridge on the podcast. And that's because he's an AU alum. So I think he wrote a story about us. John Feinstein wrote a story about my injury. If any of you know who John Feinstein is, he wrote a story about the injury, and if you Google my name, you can find a YouTube video. I think it was a regional television station that covered us.
Yep, I see it right here.
Yeah, there's like a 10-minute video that kind of outlines it, where I came from and how I got to AU. And it doesn't go as in-depth with my injury, but it talks about it a little bit and some stuff. So I guess if you have 8 minutes and care to hear more, you can Google that video. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for sharing with us, Bryce. Last question I'll have for you. Are you capable of beating me now in pickups? would you be capable of doing that still, or would that be taxing on you?
I'm pretty competitive, Ku. So like, I'm not saying I wouldn't be in a bucket of ice afterwards, but, I can still move around. Okay. So like when I coach my high school kids, like they start talking and I try not to talk about it too much. But when I have to put them in their place every once in a while. So every once in a while, they'll be talking smack. And I'm like, all right, let's play one-on-one. And I don't even go to the rim. Like I'm 6'6", pretty high release. And I can shoot it with you right there in my face. And so like I just put them in their place every once in a while. So I might need to, get in the gym for a week or so. But I might not be able to guard you. But if we play make it, take it, I might be able to get a stop. And then I think I can make enough shots. So.
All right, fair enough. I think you would probably, I think that would be probably how it goes anyways. Probably won't be able to compete with a 6'6" D1 player who just doesn't need to move and can just shoot. So that's fair. Probably isn't looking good for me. Before we wrap up the podcast, told you guys I would update you guys on the Pistons Twitter Fantasy Football League. I won week one versus Laz Jackson, that one of my editors over at Detroit Bad Boys, one of our editors over at Detroit Bad Boys. I beat him 113-87. He had Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback. He got hurt, obviously. I feel so bad. And then he had the Ravens running backs who also died on him. So it's just
and the Redskins quarterback, Fitzpatrick, right? So
yep,
who got just, hurt? Oof.
Yeah, it just didn't look good for him. Bryce, right now, as we're wrapping up the podcast, at halftime of the Raiders-Ravens game, he is up by 10 points, but Waller has 7. If Waller scores more than 10 points the rest of this half, Bryce will lose. So I'm sure Bryce will update you guys with that by the time this podcast publishes.
Bro, he had 11 targets in the first half. I'm pretty nervous about – I find it hard to believe he's not going to get a touchdown. So I'm pretty nervous about this right now.
Hey, man, ESPN has you at 84% to win. So we'll see what happens. But all right, well, that'll wrap it up here today. Thank you, Bryce, for coming on. As always, I appreciate it. Let them know where they can find you.
Yeah, so Motor City Hoops on Twitter, doing the articles for Detroit Bad Boys. Haven't had any recently, but once games start up, I'll start doing the film breakdowns again. And just check out the podcast. Had some amazing guests, and I got my guy Koo coming on here in a couple weeks. We're going to do a mailbag. So when you see that on Twitter, make sure you send some stuff in for Koo and I to talk about. Can be Pistons, NBA, or just life in general.
Absolutely. So thank you guys for listening. If you guys haven't already, make sure you go down below, leave me a 5-star review, write down a review, anything you want to say. I thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate it. Thank you, Bryce, for coming on. I'll catch you guys in the next episode, and peace out, everybody.